So, Jeff.
Hey, Cameron, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
Good, good. We've let the controversy now recede into the background, and you return to normalcy here. Super Bowl preview conversation, and I've like this 2 weeks. By this point, I think almost everybody is just. I mean, how many times can you break down one football game? But I think you can give us some perspective here, because the first question I would have for you before we start really getting into the game itself is, you've seen Colin Kaepernick far more than I have. You've seen him throughout his college career. Are you surprised? Are you surprised how well this system, this pistol offense, this read option, are you surprised how well it's translating to the NFL right now, and how well he's playing?
Yeah, I'm surprised with both, really. And I think just for the fact that I think everybody always assumed, the triple option was big back in the 70s and 80s. But everybody said you can't run in the NFL, and nobody did run in the NFL with success because, your quarterback couldn't take that kind of pounding, couldn't carry the ball that much. And to see some of this read option, some of the pistol stuff make its way into the NFL and teams having success with it, I'm very surprised. I think everybody's surprised, especially, the 32 defensive coordinators in the NFL who just haven't seemed to come up with an answer of how to stop it. And, one of the reasons is you have these guys like Colin Kaepernick and RG3, guys who are, world-class athletes, fast, big, physical, but, if they have to, they can sit back in the pocket and, they can be pocket passers. And I think that just adds an extra dimension to an offense where, if you're going to run the ball, really you're playing 10 versus 11 guys on defense. Your quarterback's out of the equation pretty much every play, hands the ball off. Or now, it's more 11 on 11, and defenses have to find a way to account for that extra player. And when you have a guy like Colin Kaepernick, who, we saw in that game against Green Bay, once he got into the open field, he made Charles Woodson look very slow and very old. And, those are the kind of athletes you're dealing with. So, I think both of them are a surprise, but like you said, I've seen Colin Kaepernick now for far too long. He did far too much damage to my Fresno State Bulldogs when he was in Nevada. And, the pistol offense wouldn't even, it would have been a flash in the pan at Nevada if not for, just the perfect combination of the concepts of that offense and a guy like Colin Kaepernick that can run it and really just add layers and layers to what that pistol offense has become. I don't think Chris Hall, kind of originated it, had any idea that it could be as successful as it was and is now, because it really was a perfect marriage of a guy that can do, so many special things within an offense that was designed basically around him.
Well, what's amazed me about Kaepernick here is that, he's played two playoff games, and he's played them as two entirely different players. It is, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this playoff run that he's on. You look at the statistics he put up against Green Bay, 180 blah blah rushing yards. He was a balanced pocket passer, run when you absolutely need to last week. And I don't think anybody. I remember that draft. I remember people talking about him as a project and saying, who would take a flyer on him. I don't ever remember somebody saying during that draft, this kid could sit in the pocket and be as accurate as he has been over these last. He was. I thought he gave an underrated performance last week because he was hitting receivers covered over the middle. And I said, if this guy can do both of these things successfully, he could be in this league forever. I mean, if you can throw from the pocket and run, you're going to be able to play forever.
That's exactly right. And I think people were so enamored with, the way he can move, what he looked like physically, his arm strength because he throws a, a ridiculous fastball when he really uncorks. And he wasn't as accurate as he is now, when he was coming out of Nevada, when he was out in Nevada. And I think he, Jim Harbaugh and that staff have done a great job of kind of refining his accuracy and, they, I think they deserve a lot of credit because, you know, this is a guy who had all the tools to be a successful NFL quarterback. But to do what he's doing, 9 starts into his NFL career, and, you know, like you said, first playoff game he ever started, he runs for more yards than a quarterback ever has in NFL history. And then, you know, the next week he carries the ball twice and sits back in the pocket and rips apart a defense on the road, you know, the number one seed on the road. It's been tremendous. And I think, you know, I don't think anybody expect this out of Colin Kaepernick. I thought, you know, if the 49ers, when they made the switch from Alex Smith, I said, hey, Colin Kaepernick's the future. You know, Jim Harbaugh moved up in the draft to get him. He wants him to be the guy. They've obviously seen enough in practice, you know, to feel comfortable with him taking over a team that's ready to go to the Super Bowl if he performs the way he should. And that's exactly what has happened. And, you know, I think it's one of the craziest, one of the greatest stories that we've seen, a mid-season change from a quarterback who was playing really as well as anybody in the league at the time. Misses one game due to an injury and gets benched for a guy who's coming and performed, you know, even better than he has. It's really a tremendous story.
And I think Kaepernick is the story for that offense because we all know that they've got a terrifically run offense. They want to pound the ball with Gore. Their blocking schemes are terrific. But they are not a complicated offense when you look at them. They want to hit the tight end now. Vernon Davis back in the mix. They want to throw the ball to Crabtree out in the flat, let him get the ball in his hands. Look downfield to Moss, but I just, my worry for the Raven defense is, do they have the speed and do they have the stamina to stay with this kid if Harbaugh decides to go with Green Bay Kaepernick and say, hey, run at these guys and let's see if they can hold up with you with an aging safety and an aging middle linebacker and some age along the defensive line. That would terrify me as a Ravens fan. Is just wondering if this kid decides he's going to put up 150 on the ground, can we hold him up?
Yeah, and the thing that makes him special, you know, he's ran this offense for so long now, he doesn't miss a read. You know, his reads are 100% correct every time the ball's in his hand. If he's supposed to hand the ball off, he hands it off. If he's supposed to keep it, then he keeps it, and that's what the Falcons did. They made him give the ball to Frank Gore. Well, when the second half came around, the 49ers understood how the Falcons were playing defense, so they just sent, a fake lead blocker at that defensive end. They knew the defensive end was going to stay with Colin Kaepernick. You know, they went right by the D end, let him run up the field, and created an extra man. Kaepernick just handed the ball off to Frank Gore and LaMichael James, and, you know, now you're outmatched on the edge, and that's how they had success running the ball. So, you know, it really doesn't matter what the Ravens want to do, because this kid is so good at understanding what a defense is trying to do and who the ball should go to every time it's in his hand. And that's what makes him so difficult to defend. You know, you think, man, the 49ers went into the Green Bay game with a game plan of letting Colin Kaepernick run, and they went into the Falcons game with, hey, hand the ball off more. That's not the case at all. They put the ball in his hands and say, make the right decision based on how this defense is playing you, and we'll go from there. And every time he makes the right decision, we see that 49ers run game have success.
Yeah, and the other thing I would say about Kaepernick, which I think probably differentiates him from some of these other guys, nothing breaks the back of a defense than when it's 3rd and 10, you got great coverage down the field, he squirts out of the pocket, and 10 yards to this kid is nothing. Because he's...
Yeah.
Covers 10 yards in 5 seconds. I mean, he covers 10 yards in 2 seconds. So in a Super Bowl where a third, we're converting 3rd and longs and getting, you know, extending drive can mean the whole season to you. I think he's going to give the Ravens defense fits. I know there are names on that Ravens defense. Those names are a bit older. The younger guys are sort of making it. I know they're talented. I don't think they have got the players to contain him, because we really haven't seen many people contain him. I mean, I think he's going to have a big game. Now, I think both offenses are actually going to have big games. So let's go to Baltimore quickly, because we haven't seen an offense like this in a long time. They want to hand the ball to the middle and then throw bombs. I mean, that's their offense. I mean, we can't ask for a better Super Bowl matchup. We're going to see some fun stuff here. If you played secondary in the NFL, how do you play safety against Joe Flacco? If you're Dante Whitner this week, How do you play safety against a guy who you know wants to go 40 yards down the field? That's his first look every time. How do you play that guy knowing you also got to hold Ray Rice under control?
Well, I think what you don't do is exactly what the Niners did early in that Falcons game, and that was, you know, their safeties playing very undisciplined football, getting their eyes in the backfield, kind of expecting the same thing, Atlanta to come out running the football. And, you know, they were able to match up Julio Jones with Deshaun Golson a couple times. He beat Carlos Rogers. Just very undisciplined football, and that's not really, you know, what the 49ers, you know, what they do. They've, you know, I think they gave up one pass over 40 yards all season, and that was against the Falcons. So really it comes down to disciplined football. The Ravens throughout the playoffs and really the last two, three, five games of the regular season, they really started hitting their stride. You know, you'll see them come out in the first half and run Ray Rice a lot, get Joe Flacco some short, you know, passes to Dennis Pitta, Ray Rice out of the backfield, Anquan Boldin, throws just to get him comfortable. He's not the most accurate guy in the world. He throws the best deep ball in the NFL. There's no question about that. But when it comes to the shorter passing game, they kind of work him into the flow of the game, you know, get that offense moving, get him some comfortable throws. And then, you know, that second half comes around. If Ray Rice can get rolling early, you know, that's when you start seeing an extra safety come down in the box. And now, you know, you have Torrey Smith, one of the faster receivers in the NFL, matched up one-on-one with maybe, a deep safety in the post, which, you know, is a tough gig for anybody to try to get some sideline to sideline. So, you know, the 49ers are going to have to kind of pick and choose when they bring that extra guy down. I assume they'll play a lot of quarters coverage, which kind of frees up both those safeties to read, you know, either the number two receiver or the end man on the line of scrimmage, read, run, pass, and be an extra guy in the run game or be an extra guy, you know, in coverage. And, you know, that's kind of what they've done a lot. They play a lot of two-man out of their nickel package. But, you know, if you get three receivers in the game, if you're Baltimore and the 49ers bring in that extra defensive back, you know, then I think we'll see, you know, Ray Rice touch the football a lot because, you know, I think Baltimore feels like they're a more physical team up front than the 49ers are, and I think they are as well. And if they can get Ray Rice rolling, then it's going to be a tough day for that 49ers secondary.
Yeah, I said to somebody yesterday when they were talking, you know, I get that the 49ers have a lot of talent on defense, and they're just not the same defense without Justin Smith. Without the pass rush, and why I think this game is going to see a zillion points is because I don't think the Niners can rush Flacco, and I don't know how you rush Kaepernick, because I think the minute you get near him, he's taking off. And if these two teams can't mount pass rushes, we should see a flurry of scoring in this game, because I don't think there's enough talent at the back end of either of these secondaries. And listen, we all love Corey Graham. We're all going to be rooting for Corey to have a big game, but there is not enough for me to look at these secondaries that they're going to hold up. The question I have now, and this is my biggest question mark heading into this game, David Akers can't make a kick right now. And you go into a Super Bowl, which is a tight Super Bowl. Vegas has it at 3.5. It'll sit there all week. You go into a Super Bowl. Put your coaching hat on. You're a coach. You go into a Super Bowl. Akers goes out to the first drive of the game and misses a 24-yard field goal. Okay? He misses a chip shot. He hits the post. What? How do you coach the rest of that game? Does Harbaugh say he's out? I mean, does Harbaugh say we're playing four down football and we're going to try to score touchdowns? I can't send them back out there. At what point does Harbaugh pull the string on this guy if he misses an early kick?
If he misses an early short kick, then I think Harbaugh does everything in his power to not put him out, you know, back out on the field in a field goal situation. I just think there's no way you can do that. You know, if he comes out and misses a 48-yarder or, you know, a 45-yarder, you know, they might give him another shot. You know, if he nails an extra point right through the uprights, then he might feel a little more comfortable. And hopefully, you know, if you're the Niners, you get a couple of touchdowns, you know, early, get him comfortable kicking the football through the uprights in an extra point situation. But if he comes out and misses an early chip shot, then I don't think there's any way you can rely on him at all. You totally take the field goal out of your way of thinking. You know, if it's between, you know, a 45-yard field goal, and it's 3rd and 9, I think you punt the ball. If it's 3rd and 3, you know, maybe you think about – or, I'm sorry, 4th and 3, maybe you think about going for it. But I think if he misses an early one, you just can't rely on the field goal kicker being available. Because if you send him out there and he goes 0 for 3, and, you know, those are three situations where you had a fourth and short, you didn't attempt it, or, you know, you had an opportunity to kind of pin Baltimore deep and create better field position for you on your next drive if your defense gets a stop. And I think those are the things you have to do. It's just with how unreliable David Akers has been this year after a Pro Bowl season last year, you know, I just don't think you can chance it if he comes out and misses an early one.
I mean, are you surprised that Akers is going to be the kicker? I mean, are you surprised that after, you know, shanking a 38 last week, are you surprised that Harbaugh is going to risk a game this big to bring him in there and let it, you know, the Super Bowls come down to it all the time. Are you surprised?
Yeah.
I'm surprised that he's bringing Akers to this game. I would not have brought him. I would have gone under the street and taken the best available guy and said, hey, he can't be worse. He can't be worse than what Akers
yeah.
has been. I'm surprised the coach is good at doing this.
Yeah, and they signed a guy a couple weeks ago, and I don't remember exactly who it was. Maybe Billy Cundiff or somebody with some experience, a veteran guy, and kind of let them compete in practice. And Akers won the job and was able to kick in the playoffs. And we saw last week, you know, he banged off the uprights. So, you know,
he looked awful.
It was
how he looked afterwards. That was so.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like someone shot his father. And I'm staring at him going, how can you put this guy back on the field?
Yeah. Well, it must have been, you know, and I think Jim Harbaugh told him, you have one miss. If you go out and miss your first kick, well, you're not going to get another opportunity. And, yeah, I'm surprised as well that they didn't bring somebody in with 2 weeks, you know, before the Super Bowl to just get in there, not just compete, because I think, hey, David Akers might make 8 out of 8 every practice, but when it comes to game time, you know, those kicks are out the window, and we've seen out throughout this season that that's been the case, and maybe he looks great in practice, but at this point, you know, 18 games into the season, I think you kind of have to make a decision that, you know, this guy is not a guy you can rely on to, you know, win a world championship for you if it comes down to that. So, you know, Jim Harbaugh's made every right decision, you know, this season. Everything he's done up to this point has worked for the 49ers, and they're in this position because, you know, he's gone with his gut and taken some chances. All you can say is, you know, hopefully if it comes down to a David Akers field goal, that Jim Harbaugh gets that situation correct.
I'm going to take the Ravens in this game. I think the Ravens are going to win this. I'm going to go 31-27. I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be high-scoring and fun. I think Flacco is going to have a huge game. I think if you watch what Matt Ryan did last week, he shredded the back end of this Niners secondary. I don't see how, why that would be different with the way the Ravens offensive line is playing. Some big, you know, Ed Reed trying to get a first title, Bolden going out there to win a title. I think it's going to be too much Ravens. So I'll go Ravens 31-27, Flacco's the MVP. Who do you got?
You know, I think kind of the opposite of that. You know, the Falcons did have a ton of success, and, you know, they kind of exposed that 49ers secondary, but, you know, that was with Roddy White and Julio Jones, probably the, you know, most lethal combination of receivers right now in the NFL as far as two guys on the same team. So I don't think the Ravens are going to have that kind of success. I think Joe Flacco is definitely going to have a good game. We've seen with Justin Smith, you know, being not 100%, how badly it's affected that 49ers pass rush. And, you know, like you said, the Ravens have been pretty stout in their pass protection. What I think this game comes down to is the fact that the 49ers offense, they just do too much. They have too many weapons for the Ravens defense. I think the middle of that defense, you know, Ray Lewis, Ellerby, guys like that having to cover Vernon Davis, Delanie Walker, you know, LaMichael James out of the backfield, I just don't think they can match up with these guys. Let me add
to that. If Ray Lewis is covering Vernon Davis at any point in this game, I'd change my prediction, and I will tell you right now, because Vernon will run directly past him and wide open at the end zone every time. So keep going.
You know, like watching the especially the Broncos game, you know, they were really able to, and not really take Ray Lewis deep down the middle of the field, but, you know, do a lot of things crossing, you know, intermediately through the middle of the field where Ray Lewis really didn't have the speed to keep up with him. And that was with, you know, Joel Dreesen, who's really a blocking tight end. Now you throw Vernon Davis and Delanie Walker in there, and I think coming off that game Vernon Davis had last week, I think that's what we're going to see. And then you have Kaepernick in that run game. So I think the 49ers just have too many weapons. They can do too much. I don't think it's going to be quite as high scoring. I think early on there'll be some scoring, but these defenses will settle in. So I'm going to go 27-21 Niners. I know that includes two David Akers field goals, but, you know, they're going to be very short.
That's too many. That's too many Akers field goals. I think I have two as well. I have two as well, but mine are both 19-yarders. I don't think he's taking a field goal longer than 30. I can't imagine.
No. No, I don't think so.
Well,
let's see.
I mean, our predictions this year have been relatively good on Bears games. We both got the Kaepernick debut against the Bears dead wrong. But I think we had that game like 62-7. But again, thank you, Cam. This has been a fun year.
Yeah.
A little controversy at the end, which I liked. Spruce it up, and we'll. Why don't you and I talk again when we get closer to the draft and talk about some prospects.
All right, talk to you later. Great. All right.